We take your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 this morning. And have some other announcements. Don't forget to be back with us tonight. We're going to be doing a very short series over the next couple of weeks entitled, It's Okay. As well, it's okay what? Come back tonight and find out. It's okay. And so you come tonight, and we're going to have a good time tonight. And going to be, I won't say necessarily a lighter sermon, but don't worry. We're not going to be pounding things in tonight, okay? So come back. Don't be afraid. We love the Word of God, and we love everyone. And we'll just come back tonight and enjoy that. So, Pastor, does that mean you're going to be pounding on us this morning? It might mean that, but no. But Genesis chapter 3. No, I'm going to be pounding on the devil this morning. Amen. Not on people, but on the devil. That's what we need to do every Sunday. Praise God. We need to do that, and God's Word does that. And so we also have another announcement mentioned in Sunday school that my wife and I are expecting our third child. And so we found that out. So do be in prayer for us. Some of you know about my wife's skin condition. She takes medicine for that. She has a type of autoimmune skin condition that we've been trying to get cleared up. And so we noticed it was flaring up a little bit. And then we found out that she was pregnant. So the medicine that she is on does have some inherent risk early on to unborn children. So be in prayer for us if you could, please. And pray that all would go well and be safe and that the baby would go to full term. That's the big danger there, is that the baby come very, very early. And so if you could be in prayer for that for us, we'd appreciate it. That's why we're letting everyone know to pray for us, please. And so we're excited. We're excited about it. Wasn't planned, but, you know, the Lord has his plan, and so we're very excited about it. I'm excited about it. My wife's excited about it. My wife's terrified, but no, we're excited, and we're just praising the Lord, and that's life is his gift to give, and we're thankful for that. You turn to Genesis chapter 3 today, and we're going to be looking at an area that we all need to be reminded about. And this morning we're going to go to the beginning, Genesis, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, and we're heading all the way back to the Garden of Eden this morning to go back to understand something that every single person in here faces every single day. Every single person in here, every single day, you face sin and temptation. And we're going to go back to the beginning of sin. And aren't you thankful sin has a beginning? It hasn't always been that way. But also sin will have an end one day. Praise God for that. Amen. Sin will have an end. But the beginning of sin, the beginning of temptation, to learn how, when, and where, so that we can avoid the same fate that Adam and Eve came to. And this message is for everyone this morning. It isn't just for the young, it isn't just for the more seasoned. Notice I didn't say old, but the more seasoned. It's for everyone because we're all tempted with sin. Different sins, different things. And we should never say, well, I'm never tempted. All of us are tempted with different things. And this morning, we're going to look at the devil's promise. The devil's promise. If you take your Bibles and stand together, Genesis chapter 3, so I'll stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read the first seven verses. And we're going to read a tragedy here this morning. A tragedy of how the devil promises and how he delivers on his promises. Look on Genesis chapter 3, beginning of verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Dear Father, we come before you today with such an important topic, a topic of temptation. And Lord, I pray that we're not deceived in this area of temptation, that we're not deceived in this area of sin, and that we're not deceived on the promises the devil tries to make to us. And Lord, we know the promises that you make, and your promises are true and sure. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us this morning. Give us victory over temptation, over sin. And Lord, give us victory over the devil, for he wishes to destroy all of us. He wishes to entice and to destroy. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and give us instruction today and give us tools to fight the devil, Lord, for you are greater than he, and you are greater than all. And you give us that power to defeat him. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us that this morning. Guide and direct us. Hide me behind the cross, dear Lord, and that you, dear Lord, would reign among us. Bring sinners to yourself. If any here today are not saved, dear Lord, I pray that they would come to know you today. And, Lord, perhaps there's a Christian in sin who has been tempted as in sin. Lord, I pray that they would repent of it, Lord, and you give them victory, for you wish to give every person victory today. We ask thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The devil's promise. Now, did you know the devil makes promises? And we see the first promise that we see recorded, that he makes a promise to Eve. And he tempts her with something that every single one of us is tempted with. But some might say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm really not tempted with things. You know, I'm one of those strong Christians. Now, if you're taking notes today, number one, I want you to write this down in big capital letters. Everyone is tempted. Amen? Everyone is tempted. If you are a breathing, living human being sitting in a pew today or watching the streaming, you are tempted daily. You are tempted. So some say, well, I'm not tempted. Everyone who has ever lived has been tempted. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And beginning in verse number 13, it is something that everyone is tempted with. And there are different things that people are tempted with. Not just all the same things, but they fall into three categories. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Notice how it says here, such as is peculiar to man. Such as unique to man. No, such as is common. Meaning it's a common thing. Everyone is. It is a common thing to be tempted. Well, what kind of things are we tempted with? You name it, the devil tempts you with it. Whenever he can get you to do anything that is against God, anything that is against his word, anything that pleases you, anything that pleases your flesh, he's going to tempt you with it. Whether it's as simple as overeating. Pastor, is that a sin? The Bible says so. Gluttony is a sin. And or as heinous as murder or adultery or drugs. The devil tempts. Large or small. Remember, we were the one that makes large or small sin. But it was seemingly a small thing that the devil tempted Eve with. But it was against the command of God. Some people think that they are beyond temptation. Well, look at verse number 12, the verse before, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Some people say, well, I'm above temptation. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Well, I'm not tempted with those things. You know what? Devil doesn't tempt everyone with the same things. At the same time, it doesn't mean that you'll never, ever be tempted with those things. Some people have a propensity, the devil tempts them with alcohol. And the devil tempts them, and they have a weakness in their area. Some people don't. As I've never been tempted to drink it. And they said, I never will be. You should never say that. Because the devil might one day decide to pull that one on you. When nothing else works, pull that one. Well, you at least expect it. The devil pulls out temptation. Some people think they're beyond temptation. Such is not the case. That's an arrogant statement. Everyone is tempted by the forces of evil. Some are tempted by the devil directly or by his fallen angels, demons. We're tempted to do wrong and to fall into sin. There is also a common lie that goes around when we are tempted. Well, you know what? I was tempted and yes, I sinned, but the devil made me do it. Right? It was just too much for me. The devil made me do it, or so-and-so made me do it. Just remember this. No one can make you do anything. We choose. The devil wants you to think that you don't have a choice, especially as a Christian. But especially because you are a Christian, if you're saved here today, you have a choice. Amen? You're not enslaved to sin. You have a choice today. Look at James chapter 1 and verses 13 through 16. Some people say, well, God made me do it. God told me to go do this. And you know what? I had someone tell me one time, as yes, God told me to go and to be his servant and go take a brick and smash someone's windshield. And to go and beat them up and put them in the hospital. God told me to do that. And I'm just looking at this person like, you know, it's one of those things you read about, right? And they're telling me this, and I'm like, well, God didn't tell you to do that. They got mad. Oh, yes, he did. I said, someone told you to do that, and it wasn't God. Because God never tempts us to sin and do wrong. 1 James chapter 1 and verse number 13. Some people say, well, God made me do it. God let me down. God never lets you down. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, because God is all righteous. God is perfect. God is without sin. He cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And some of you have this view of God, that God saved you from sin. And then he says, go here. Then he sticks his foot out in front of you, so you fall flat. That's a lie of the devil. The devil does that. God does not. But the devil passes himself off as God. He wants to be God. He wants to be the angel of light. He wants to be the truth of this world. You know, we always visualize the devil, you know, with a pitchfork and this red suit and everything. No, that's incorrect. You know what? The devil likes that. Because when you don't see that, when you see the light and the truth and all of that exalted looking and the light from heaven and all of that, the devil can do that. And he passes himself off. The Bible says he passes himself off as the angel of light. And what is light in the Bible? Light is truth. And he has his version of the truth, in which we're going to see here in a minute. We see that he had his own version of the truth in Genesis chapter 3. With this established this morning, this message is for everyone, especially the young man, the young woman, especially the more seasoned. Especially the young, because you're not experienced in the things of God as much yet, and you can be easily deceived. For the older, that you not be arrogant in what you have done and what God has done in your life, that would be humble and say, Lord, I can be tempted too. It is for the spiritually strong, it's for the spiritually weak. Anyone can be tempted. Anyone can. But how do we respond to it? Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. And if you want to see what the devil can do. Now, I don't encourage this for the young people, but I encourage you adults. You go online and you see the video of the transcript of the Parkland shooter that they did. They took the video interview at the police station. You want to see someone that's demon-possessed? He is. He said, the demon made me do it. The demon made me. He's sitting there punching himself and huddled up in a little ball, shaking. That man is demon-possessed. You want to see what the devil does to somebody? You want to see him messing around with a Ouija board? You want to see him messing around with drugs? You want to see what that does? There it is! Stay away from it! Messing around with Harry Potter books? That's what's going to bring in your life. Right there. That's the devil. That's what he does. He deceives. Now back to Genesis chapter 3. Okay, parenthetical done. Genesis chapter 3. But that, I mean, I saw that, and it's disturbing, but it's so sad to see someone so controlled by the devil. See, the demon made me do it. The demon, now, he is controlled by the devil. He feels he has no choice. But then he says this. He goes, I don't want the demon. I don't want it. I don't want the demon. He is tortured on the inside, and he doesn't want to be. That's sad. And that's how monstrous the devil is. The devil is not your friend. The devil is not some innocuous or neutral party. The devil wishes to destroy everything in your life. Genesis chapter 3. So we look here, the perfect setting. The setting of Genesis chapter 3, we see in the first two chapters, is that of perfection. We see God create from nothing. ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created the universe. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. He created the sky, the planets, the galaxies, the millions and billions of galaxies. You know what? We get so excited about what He created on earth. But before that, He created the universe. He created all that there is. In one word, He created it all the millions and billions of galaxies. That's a powerful God. Created it all. Like that, out of nothing. And we're still discovering what He made. We haven't figured out all that He's made yet. We're still finding it. Amen? Isn't that exciting? I think it's going to go on for a long time. We find out how large and big God's creation is. And by the way, don't think man's figured it all out, by the way. Amen? Don't think that man hasn't figured it all out. Science hasn't figured it all out. Well, the universe is expanding and all of these things. You know what? I asked him, how do you know? Well, we did calculations. Well, you did calculations a few years ago that says it wasn't. Now it is. Now it isn't. You know, they don't know. We're talking about distances that are literally astronomical. That's why it's called astronomical distance, because we're talking about trillions and trillions of miles. Man hasn't figured, you know how man figures it all out? With a telescope, a viewfinder this big. I can figure all the secrets of the universe through this. No, we have the viewfinder of God's Word. Amen? And God has it all figured out. But the setting was perfect. God created the world. God created all that was in it. God created all the animals. God created all the birds and the fish, all the creatures on the earth. And then He created man, the crown jewel of His creation. He created man. And man was perfect. Man did not sin. Amen? I can't wait for that day when we get to heaven. There's no more sin. You know, we see sin destroy every single day, and we don't want to see that anymore. But he was created without sin. There was no disease, there was no death, there was no wars, there was no disobedience, there was no rebellion. There was nothing but all that was very good. And you know what? Adam and Eve were innocent without sin. And just remember something, whatever is good and godly and perfect in God's sight, the devil is not far away, because he wants to wreck it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to destroy what God's doing in your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. All that is good that's going on in your life, he wants to ruin it all. So when things are going good in your life, watch out. The devil's around the corner. He's waiting for you. So be ready. That's why the Bible, 2 Peter tells us, he says, a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. So whenever God has done something good, the devil wants to be there to wreck it. Adam and Eve were innocent without sin. God created them that way. They were married, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed, because there was no lust or sin. Now we do that today, but that's a sinful thing, because we're fallen. We're sinful. It was a perfect setting for the wretched devil to enter in. He wanted to destroy it all. He saw the perfection. He saw all that God had made. He said, I wanted to destroy that. I want to be in charge of all of that. So we see the perfect setting. Second, we see the perfect wretch. And that's exactly what the devil is. Amen? Amen. Amen. We got to say amen to that. Because you got to realize who the devil is. He's not some plaything. He is dangerous. The devil was created in all splendor. Look at Isaiah 14. Look at how the devil, Lucifer, started out. Lucifer was his name. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. He started off in perfection as well, in splendor. He was created by God to bring glory to God. Remember, the devil is not a god. He is a creation, just like we are. Though more powerful than us, he is an angel that was created by God and was created in splendor. Isaiah 14, and verse number 12. Also, Ezekiel 28, we'll turn there in a minute. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He said, I will be like the Most High God. I'll be like him, though he never can be. He believes he can. Ezekiel 28, look over there, Ezekiel 28, verses 14 through 16. Now, this is a picture of what the devil was created for. This is called the fall of the Prince of Tyrus, the whole chapter, chapter 28. The Prince of Tyrus is another name for the devil, for Lucifer. And so this was a picture of who, what he did and what he was created for. Thou art the anointed cherub, so he's a cherubim, that covereth, that I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, if you remember Isaiah 6, remember, what do the cherubims do? What do? They cry, holy, holy, holy. This was Lucifer's job, was to declare the holiness of God. To what the coals of fire, the angel grabbed a coal of fire from off the altar and purged the lips of Isaiah. This was the place of Lucifer. And he decided that he was going to be greater than God himself. Now, I think all of us would agree that Lucifer has more power than we do, because he is created immortal and with powers beyond our knowledge and comprehension, and we are finite on this earth. We are no match for him, but Jesus is his creator, and he is subject to Jesus Christ. Praise God! Amen? We see that when he was tempted in the wilderness, Lucifer tried to tempt, and just unfathomable. He tried to tempt his very creator. And his creator defeated him every time. With what? The word of God. So he was cast down to earth. And he decided to rebel against God. He is the father of rebellion. He is also the father of lies. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 44. Any lie that's ever told, he is the father of it. He told the first lie. He lied to Eve. He also believed the first lie. He lied to himself that he could be greater than God. And he believed it and acted on it. Led a rebellion in heaven. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. I mean, he was a murderer from the beginning. Adam and Eve were never to die physically, but because they followed his direction, they fell into sin and then died physically. That's murder. Murder from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So every time the devil speaks, it's a lie. He can't tell the truth. Every time he speaks, it's a lie. And you know what? There's some people that, you know, live in this life that they're called pathological liars. You know what? They're really controlled by the devil, because the devil, every time he speaks, it's a lie. Every single time. You can't trust what he says. Now, some people say, well, did Adam and Eve know about Lucifer? Did God tell them? We don't know that. All we know is that God gave them an instruction of something not to do. You know what? He gave them more commands of what they were allowed to do. The one thing they weren't allowed to do was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, what was so special about that tree? Well, let's see that. We'll see that in a minute. He is the father of everything evil in this life and in this world. He corrupts men and women's minds. He tempts them to lust after the things of this life. He leads them captive to destruction. He loves to take Christians out of the fight as well. He is after you today. If you're saved, he's after you. If you're faithful, he is after you. If you're serving God, he's after you. He's gunning for you. He loves to spoil that which God has done, because he hates God. He loves to spoil what God's made and what God's done. And that brings us to number four, the perfect crime. The devil entered into that which was perfect. Well, how did he? God allowed it. God allowed him to enter there because man has a choice to make. God does not make decisions for us. We have a free will to choose him or not to. He came in the form of a serpent. Now we look back at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of... And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And what he's trying to do here, he's trying to show that God was contradicting himself. That you could eat of every tree except this one. He said before you could eat of every tree, but now he says you can't. So why? He's holding out on you. The serpent, subtle, sly, beautiful, sleek, mysterious and majestic. He was all of these things and more. And he came to perpetrate the perfect crime in humanity. To destroy what God had made in perfection and to ruin the plans of God. And he came to Eve to deceive her. Look at Genesis chapter 2. We first see the command of God in verses 16 and 17 of Genesis 2. This is the command that God gave to Adam. Okay, so this is what he gave to Adam. Now, this was before Eve was created. God gave the command to Adam, did not repeat it, that we know of. Okay, we don't know what else happened in the between here. All we know is what God recorded. But God gave the command to Adam before Eve was created. He gave the command to Adam, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's the command of God. Now, we look here, look back at Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 2. Now, this is Eve's interpretation. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, this is important to understand something here. That Eve left something out, and she added something. Now, Revelation 22:19 is very clear that we shouldn't add or take away from the words of God. So she did not mention the name of the tree. She said the tree in the midst. God said the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She didn't mention the name, and God never said they couldn't touch it. They couldn't eat it. God never said they couldn't touch it. So she added a detail there. But then the devil springs his trap. So he enters a question into Eve's mind of what God really meant and what God really said. And by the way, if there ever enters into your mind a question about God, about his faithfulness, about his promises, about his goodness, about his salvation, about anything, the devil put it there. Amen. Because the devil wants you to question God. The devil wants you to ask questions and to say, well, does it really mean that? He wants you to question God's word. He wants you to question. And that's what Eve started doing. And then he springs his trap in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, it's just like the devil to make promises. We think that he doesn't keep his promise. Well, actually, he does. It's just not what we expect or what we think, because it's a lie. And that brings us number 5, the imperfect promise. So he said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what was his promise? Well, his was the promise of power. You'll be like a god. Oh, man, we like that. Power. Also the promise of forbidden and hidden knowledge. There is a knowledge that you need to know this. Then if you unlock the secrets of this, then you'll have knowledge and you'll be more powerful than ever. Sounds like Star Wars, doesn't it? Sounds like Buddhism and mysticism. That's exactly what it is. Power. You have this power within yourself. You got to unlock it. And if you just do this, you'll have this mysterious knowledge. The promise of greener fields. God's holding out on you. You can have something better over here. The accusation that God is holding out. The accusation that you can handle the knowledge of these things. God doesn't think you can do it, but you're stronger than that. You can handle it. This is what the devil told Eve. So let's break down the promise. Verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Okay? That's promise number 1, you will not die. What's the second part of the promise? Promise number 2. Verse number 5, God knoweth that when in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The promise 1, that their eyes will be opened. Okay? That your eyes will be, you'll understand. Opening means an understanding. You'll understand. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, that you will be like a god. Well, and actually, they would be like God, knowing good and evil. Look at Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God understands good and evil, though he does not do evil. There is no evil in him. He has a knowledge and understanding of what evil is. Man did not have an understanding of what evil was. He only understood that which was good. Praise God for that. There's all kinds of evil stuff we know about. We wish we didn't. Amen. All kinds of evil things that go on we wish we didn't know anything about. Then Eve took and lusted. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And this matches exactly. Three things. All sin comes from three areas of our heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Lust comes from, all sin has three fountainheads. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. So all that's in the world, everything, all the sin, all that is in the world. Verse 16. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now let's look back at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6. And when the woman saw the lust of the, what? Eyes. Saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Once again, so lust of the flesh, it was good for food. Food satisfies our hunger, right? Then the lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Pride of life. I'm going to be wise. This they desire to make one wise, meaning that this tree will make me wise and understand. Yes, that sounds good. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Their eyes were opened. You know that the devil kept his promise. What he did not tell them was the cost of the consequence. They did not die right away, but they would die eventually. They died spiritually. So thou shalt not surely die. Adam and Eve believed that they would die immediately. When you read that, you think, well, they would just die. They'd drop dead on the spot. And the devil said, no, you won't die. And you know when Eve ate it? She said, I didn't die. The devil was right. The devil kept his promise. It just wasn't what they expected. It's a lie. They did not die right away. They died spiritually. Their innocence died that day, though. Their fellowship with God died that day. You know, he promised that their eyes would be opened. Their eyes were opened, but it was a corrupt vision. It wasn't a good opening. It was a bad one. And they were like God to know what evil was. It was a terrible thing. It wasn't a good thing. They knew what good was because it had departed from them. They knew what evil was because they had committed it. Now all was different. All was changed. All had been corrupted. The devil kept his promise. It's just he deceived at the outcome. And you know what? That's what the devil does. He promises an outcome. You know what? When you see people with the alcohol or the drugs, like, hey, you're going to have lots of friends. Oh, yeah, you will. You'll be living on the street with a bunch of other homeless people that are a bunch of druggies, too. You'll be friends, right? You have lots of friends. But in all in a terrible state. Oh, we'll be socially acceptable. I mean, we'll have fun drinking. Yeah, you might have fun drinking, but they don't tell you how painful it is to die of cirrhosis of the liver. The devil keeps his promise, but it's not what you expect. It's not what you think, because he lied to you. Oh, you can find out about this. Oh, it'll be great. Oh, it'll be fun. Yeah, it will be for a time. And then the consequence comes. Then the payment comes. So what's the solution? Well, if you're without Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ is the solution. Amen. Because of our sin, we can be saved from it. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. I'm going to share about five verses with you today. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. You know that Jesus understands what it is to be tempted, and Jesus understands what it is that you have been tempted with, but he does not, but he did not sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. If he had sinned, he could not be our Savior. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted with the same things that all of us are tempted with, but he didn't sin. He resisted the devil. Salvation through Jesus Christ will give us freedom from sin, will give us freedom from lust, give us freedom and victory over temptation. But there's something important to understand, is that temptation, we have this idea that when we get saved, well, I'm saved in here today. If you're saved, then God gives me the ability to stand and take the temptation of the devil and stand there and resist. There's a very important thing about this. The devil wants you to think that. As a Christian, God gives you the power to run the other way. When temptation comes, you run the other way. Take the example of Joseph. When Potiphar's wife came to him and tried to get him to commit immorality with her, and he said, how can I do this great wickedness in the sight of my God? And he ran. He didn't stick around and have a debate about it. He said, well, and he told her, and then she persisted, and he went. He didn't stick around. Amen. And when we're tempted, we shouldn't stick around. Let's look at some verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. We have a decision to make. If you're a Christian in here today, you have a decision to make every single time you're tempted. Yes, we are tempted to do wrong things. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. What does that mean? That you shouldn't be going the same direction with them. Refrain your foot from their path. And we can say you can't walk along with them and stay out of what they're doing, because eventually you're going to give in. Eventually, maybe you resist a couple of times, but you stay there. You leave yourself in the place of temptation. I believe the Bible says that we're not to make place for the devil. We're not to give place to the devil, meaning we're not going to give him a foothold. And you know what? If you're staying around people who are sin or in sin, and they're constantly saying, hey, take a drink with me. Here, take a drag on a joint with me. And they're saying, hey, let's look at pornography. Let's do this. Get away from them. Because you can't be in the same path and stay away from it. Amen. Get out of the path. Get out of the path. And this is where our young people fail. This is where they fail big time. And parents, this is where we're failing right now. Is we don't keep them out of the path of evil people. We let them do what they want. We let them hang around with who they want to hang around. We let them go where they want to on the internet. We let them go places they want to go because, you know, they're okay. They're strong enough. No, they're not. You're a parent. Protect them. And don't sit down and cry and bawl your eyes out. What happened? It's your fault. Keep them out of the way. Protect them. I understand they'll have to stand one day. I get that. When they're an adult and when they're trained, not when they're 12 and 13 years old. Keep them out of the path. you young men and young women. You aren't married yet. Some of you in the military, some of you doing other things. Guess what? You're going to be tempted to stay in the path with those people because you want to help them. Great desire. Won't work. See them get saved. If they reject Christ, then you go the other way. Bring them to church with you. That's great because that's not their path. That's yours. What you do is you bring them into your path. You don't go to theirs. You bring them into yours. Bring them to church. Bring them to the Bible study. Bring them for the soldier meal. That's your path. That's not theirs. That's great. But don't go into their path. Go party with them. Hey, maybe I'll be able to witness to them in the bar. Yeah, right. You'll be taking a drink before you know it. You know what? I went to a college with a guy named Mitch. And he was kind of a weird guy anyway. But he was in there. Then he eventually left. Then I saw on Facebook. And actually, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Why I didn't want to be on Facebook anymore. As I saw on there, yeah, to let everybody know that went to college with me. You know, now I'm going to this church and doing this. And now what I do is I go down to the bar, sit down and have a beer with a guy and tell him about Jesus. I mean, this is like a guy who was conservative. I mean, went complete opposite. I don't know what happened. I said, this guy has lost his mind. And you know what? He thought by joining him, you could help him. You can't do that. And what our Christian young people are beginning to believe is that, well, we can't be judgmental. We're not being judgmental. We love them, but we got to take a stand against sin. We got to keep the devil here, not here. Keep him out here. But that keeps people out of church. If they so decide, then yes. But they know they're welcome. They know that they come to get help. But if they don't want help, they'll stay outside. And that's a sad thing. And we need to be careful that we don't let the devil in. Don't go in the same path with them. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Proverbs 4 verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And go not in the way of evil men. Now, what happens when our teacher repeat or our parents repeat something to us over and over and over again? We think, well, it's important. Either one, you don't listen. Or number two, it's important, right? When God repeats something, it's important. So the second time in four chapters, he said the same thing. All through Proverbs, he repeats it over and over and over and over and over again. Why? So we get it. Stay away from the path of evil people. Stay away from the path. Romans chapter 6, look over here. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse 13. This is also why you don't hang out with disgruntled people. People are disgruntled with the church, disgruntled with God. Don't hang out with them because you'll be disgruntled eventually too. Because if you're following that, then you're in their path. Then you need to get out of that path. Because you're just going to be in the path with them. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are as instruments of righteousness unto God. We can either be instruments for the devil or instruments for God. And God wants us to be used in His glory and His might and be used for His glory. Amen. But the devil wants to use us against God, even as Christians. Or he wants to make us ineffective. And the biggest way we can be ineffective is to yield to temptation. Have sin in our life. Have sin in our heart. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13. Ephesians 6, 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Need the armor of God to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. But the devil goes at us in steps. First of all, he tries to do like we did with Eve. He tries to entice us off of the way. He tries to entice us into sin. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. Then, step number two, he brings somebody into your life. And by the way, it can happen at church. Not everybody that walks through the door of this church is lily white in heart. Hope you understand that. Don't start looking around like, who is this, you know? always wondered about them. No, I'm not talking about that. But by the way, if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, something bothers you about somebody, there's a reason. Because God sees all we don't. But then, when they come in and then they say, you know what, hey, you know what, let's get together for coffee sometime. You barely know them. Hey, let's get together for coffee. I want you to put a great big red flag up. I want to study the, let's study the Bible together. Right? Not necessarily anything inherently wrong with that. But then when you get to that point, yeah, I want to go. And then you have that nice little Bible study. And then they start pulling out all this weird stuff. Weird doctrines. And things in the Bible. I didn't know the Bible said that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know pastor doesn't believe this. But, you know, this is what I believe. And this is what the Bible really says. Now, you went from a little red flag to a roadblock that should come out. And humongous red flag that's waving right here. And a big alarm's going, you know what you do? You say, I'm sorry, but I can't, you know, and they ask you out again. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I can't go out with you today. Get away from someone like that. That teaches things that are contrary to the Word of God. Get away from it. Get away from it. Well, I don't believe that. I understand a lot of people don't believe things about the Bible that are in the church today. It doesn't make me wrong, though. It doesn't make God's Word wrong. I can be wrong about things, but God's Word can never be wrong. Amen. Understand that. I understand not everyone's there yet. I get that. That's fine. But when you go around and say, well, God's Word's wrong, and that's not what God's Word really says, then you are on the wrong path. Don't be on path with people like that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Let's go back over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Last verse for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Remember, it's common. But this is the best part of the verse. But God is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. He's there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He is there when you're tempted. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Meaning that God limits how much the devil can tempt you. He limits it. He will not allow you to be tempted to your destruction. Aren't you glad of that? That's for saved people, by the way, not for lost people. That's for saved people. And that with the temptation, he also maketh a way to escape. He didn't say a way to stand there. He said a way to get out. I'm strong enough. You know, okay. Think for a moment. The building's on fire. You're in there. And there isn't a fire escape right there. And someone's saying there, you go up there, hey, you got to get out of here, there's the fire escape. Oh, I'm fireproof. I don't burn. I'm strong enough. I can take on these flames. Ugh! They're going to be a cinder. And you know what? The same thing happens to the Christian. Oh, I'm strong enough. Look at me. Oh, I can just stand here and take it. I can beat that devil down. I can step on him. You are deceived. He has you exactly where you want. He wants you. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to go, and you're done. Right where he wants you. Takes a sword. You're done. Instead, God says, go this way. I'll fight him for you. Amen. Man, and then it's God doing that, and then the devil's done. And said, but you get over here, I'll take care of him. Why do you want to fight someone that Jesus has already taken care of? Amen? And he'll be with you, and he'll give you a way of escape. And I said, but Pastor, well, that's with physical temptation, but what about in my mind? You have a decision to make what you think about. Did you know that? That God gives you the power to the casting down of imaginations. Of anything that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God. And the devil tempts us here more than anywhere else. Yes, the devil tempts us externally, but I don't think most people here today, they struggle with the external. They struggle with what's right here. The devil wants you to get to despair. The devil wants you depressed. The devil wants you to think nasty things about God. The devil wants you to doubt God. The devil wants you to think nasty things about your brother and sister in Christ. He wants you to think nasty things about your church. He wants you to think nasty things about your pastor. He wants you to think terrible things about God's Word. He wants you to think about how wonderful everyone else is on the outside is doing, how happy they are, how happy those sinful friends you have, how great they're doing. They want you to think all of that. And you know what? And they also want to bring up your past life, things you've done in the past. Oh, what kind of Christian are you? You used to do that. Oh, what kind of Christian are you? Before you were saved, you think God really forgave that? You're mistaken. God would never forgive you for that. Everyone has heard that in their head. I don't care who you are, you've heard it. Because we all have things before we were saved that we're ashamed of, that we did. But the devil says, oh, God can't forgive you. And you know what you do? Is you go to the Bible. Amen. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And we plead, it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not what I have done, not my filthy rags, not my righteousness, but what Jesus has done for me. I am clean no matter what you say. Amen. I'm clean. I'm free no matter what you say. And guess what? When you start mentioning the blood of Jesus, the devil gets going. Because he can't fight with that. But the devil will try again. Oh, poor you. You're just worthless. You know that? You know, it's the devil just tells us all kinds of different things. And just remember, when he tells you you're worthless, just remember one thing. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. So if he's telling you you're worthless, then you know you're not, because you're worth so much to God. You're worth so much to him. He died for you. Amen. You're worth so much. Don't ever think that. The devil only can defeat you if you let him. If you believe his lies and act on them, which so many people do, if you believe what he tells you here, you believe what he says about this. You know, it's the devil that says you don't have to read your Bible in the morning, not God. It's the devil that says you don't need to pray. Is the devil that says all of these things. But there's a way of escape. Lord, help me. There's a way of escape. Right here. There's a way of escape in singing praise to God. Amen? There's a way of escape. Don't let them think that you're trapped forever. If you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian came into Evangelist's house, he went into the basement and there was a man sitting there in a cage, but there's no lock on the cage. And he's sitting there muttering to himself and saying that he's trapped forever and all of these things. And Christian said, Evangelist, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he in the cage? And why? But there's no lock on the cage. Doesn't he realize that he can get out any time? Oh, yes, he's been told many times that there's a way out of the cage. But he was once a faithful pilgrim, just like yourself. But he was tempted into sin. And he believed the lie of the devil that he would be forever. And he came into this cage, and the devil led him into this cage. And he has believed the lie of the devil that he can never be free from that sin and be free from the cage. He said, but I've told him over and over that Jesus has freed him from the cage. There's no lock on the cage. He can walk out any time he wishes, but he will not believe it. And Christian went up and told him, don't you see that you can get out? Oh, no, I can never open that door. The door is too heavy. Oh, the lock, there's a lock. There's no lock. Yes, there's a lock there. He believed there's a lock and chain. He was stuck there. He believed the lie of the devil. So many Christians believe the same thing. They've done wrong. They've sinned. They think they're stuck. You're not stuck. Jesus can let you out of the cage. But they believe the lie of the devil more than God's word. Will you believe him today? Will you believe him when he says that you need to run from temptation? Will you believe what he says when he says to get away from those people that do evil? Get them into your path. Don't go into theirs. It never works. Bring them into your path. Bring them to church. And if they reject that, they have rejected your God and Savior. They are an enemy of God. But I love them. Yes, I understand, but they're still the enemy of God. They're on the other side. And if you associate with them, then you're on the other side as well. Loyalty to God is important. It's downplayed today, but loyalty to God and to His Word is paramount. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So today, have you struggled with temptation, yielding to sin? As a pastor, I want victory. You can have it today if you but ask for it. If there's any struggles in your life, we'd love to talk to you and pray with you and help you any way that we can. But don't think that you'll never yield to temptation. Pray to God every day that you will do what's right in His sight, that you will do right, that you'll run from the temptation here and here and do right, and God will bless you and protect you. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you will bless this invitation time. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory for all that you've done for us. You have shed your blood on Calvary's tree for our sin, dear Lord Jesus Christ. You have shed your blood to save us from sin, to save us from the shackles and the chains. And Lord, I pray if any here today that they're not free. They know that they're a sinner. They know that they need a Savior. They know that they've been chained to sin. They know that those chains will drag them down to the pit of hell. And Lord, they know that they need you. I pray, dear Lord, that they would come to you today and that they would seek us out, that they would seek your word out, that they would come to the front, that they would have boldness enough to raise their hand and say, I need Jesus as my Savior. And others that may be Christians today, but that temptation has beleaguered them and they have yielded to the thoughts of anger, to the thoughts of lust, to the pride of life, to discouragement, to depression, to lies about yourself. Lord, I pray that you would, dear Lord, give victory. And that you, dear Lord, that they would follow what your word says and not believe the lie, cast it out of their mind, but Lord, that they would believe your truth. I pray that you would work this morning, that you would give power and might to your people. They seek it. I pray that you would give it. And Lord, that we be faithful to look for it, to live for you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.